Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which we consider this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 6th chapter. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is our text. Fellow redeemed, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' point in these verses, or actually from the larger section in the Sermon on the Mount, is really pretty clear. Whatever you consider your highest treasure will be the thing in which you put your trust. And he sums that up in some different words a few verses later when he says, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, Jesus is putting his finger here on a particular sin, and a very pervasive one. The sin that Jesus is warning about here is the sin of greed. That is, the desire, the excessive desire for more of something. Now, when we hear about greed or earthly treasures, we probably think first and foremost of financial wealth and property. And of course, with that thought, it's a very easy step to, no problem, I'm just a poor Bethany student, or professor, or staff worker. However, the sin of greed that Jesus warns about here goes far beyond such superficialities. Just about anything that we have, and especially those things that we don't have, become the object of greed and covetousness. And it's not just financial wealth, but athletic prowess, artistic ability, intellectual and academic ability, fame, family, sex, beauty, or even, believe it or not, spirituality, good works, and humility. All of these things, and many more, can and do become our mammon, our highest treasures. They become our gods, our idols, objects of greed and covetousness. And those are the treasures that replace, or that want to replace, Jesus, so that he is no longer our highest treasure, the one object of the ultimate faith and trust and love. And it shows up in some surprising ways. Just before our text, for example, Jesus was warning against fasting just in order to be seen. He doesn't forbid or discourage fasting, but he speaks against getting greedy, especially about the notice that fasting might bring to us. And therefore, Jesus preaches, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, some have taken Jesus' words about wealth and possessions in Scripture to mean that the best way to avoid the sin of greed or of idolizing the things that we value is to forsake all earthly possessions and devote one solely to prayer and piety before God, to flee to a hermitage or a monastery. But that fails to grasp Jesus' point that everything that we have, including our abilities and our intellect and the like, are gifts and creations of God, which yet can become the objects of our greed. Martin Luther, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, asks, "What then? Is it wrong to have any treasures at all? Is this a general condemnation of everyone that gathers treasures on earth?" Answer, surely this cannot be the case. The emphasis here, he goes on to say, is on the little word serve. It is no sin to have money and property, wife and children, house and home, but you must not let them be your master. None of the gifts that God gives us are to be our master. Only our Lord Jesus is that. God created gold and silver and everything else that belongs to this world and life in it. He's endowed us with bodies, with minds, and with skills. And we use them to the glory of God. We enjoy them. We also enjoy and engage in competition with each other, physically, artistically, and intellectually. And by using and excelling in these gifts, we acquire more knowledge and skill. And we even earn worldly recognition for it by acquiring prizes, blue ribbons, trophies, honors, scholarships, academic degrees, and the like. Christians are to exercise good stewardship of all of God's gifts to them, possessions and abilities, and to strive for excellence in those things which God has given to us. But they may not and they must not become our masters, our idols, our mammon. To help us understand how we are to use these things as Christians living in this world, our Lord has reminded us that we live in two kingdoms: the kingdom of the Word, or the kingdom of the gospel or of Christ, and the kingdom of the world, or the kingdom of Caesar, both of which are created by God. The Christian lives as a Christian in both kingdoms simultaneously. The Christian lives in the kingdom of the world as a Christian. But that does not mean that he lives without reason or sense or work in this worldly kingdom. So according to Jesus' example in this sermon, a Christian is to turn the other cheek when an evil person wrongs him. But living in this world, that doesn't mean that if an evil person attacks my wife and children or my nation, that I sit idly by and let him do as he wills, turning my cheek. Or that a ruler or president who is Christian turns the other cheek when evil men strike against his people and nation. And so too, the Christian as Christian is not to let wealth be master, and yet because as Christians we live in this world, we strive for enough wealth to support our family, to send our children to school and to college, and strive to advance in our professions or jobs, and use the skills with which our Lord has blessed us so graciously. As Christians, we put aside our reason and hold to God's word in humble faith. but as Christian students or professors, woe be unto you if you put aside your reason. We do not acquire an education by putting aside our reason and intellect, but we use them, not as master, but as servant. As Christians, we trust that God will provide for us and that he will see to it that we have what we need. But we do not act like the Thessalonians who went out and sat on the side of a hill waiting for their Lord to come and supply them. As Christians of the kingdom of the world, we work. As Christians, we stand before God without works. But as citizens of the world, we expect works of love and service, both of ourselves and of others. Now we know full well that in the kingdom of the world, no matter how good and how great a gift God has created and given to us, that it will be corrupted by human beings, also by the Christian ones. The difference is that the Christian repents, turns back to his Lord again and again for forgiveness and for strength. Christians do not remove themselves from the world in order to avoid all temptations, but they plead daily with their Lord to lead them not into temptation and for strength to use God's gifts properly. In other words, the Christian knows that he is saint and sinner, and that he lives not only in a spiritual kingdom, which is a kingdom of the gospel, but in the earthly one, which is a kingdom of the law. Above all else, the Lord who created both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the world is and remains and always will be the Redeemer, the Lord our righteousness. And that Redeemer is the highest treasure and the highest pleasure who stands above all else. As St. Paul writes, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Jesus, priceless treasure. Amen.